Hey, today we're starting a brand new series in the book of Acts. Now, 3 months ago, I actually taught in Acts chapter 1, so I guess I'm going to do it again because it was the greatest sermon ever. Amen? Okay, you guys don't even remember. But I am going to ask you to go on a journey. I'm going to ask you to go on two journeys. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 1. I think we have the links page up there. You can go ahead to the links page. This is a great resource. You can follow along, take notes. We're going to dive right in. Acts chapter 1. I'm getting a little bit of feedback up here, guys. So if we could change that just a little bit. Thank you. Yeah, it's like ting, ting, ting. But if you have your Bibles, we use this thing called the YouVersion app. You can have the Bible on your phone, all that good stuff. So Acts chapter 1, we're going to dive right in, starting at verse 1. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, a.k.a. Theo, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Now, this letter refers to the Acts or the actions of Jesus or the acts and actions of the Spirit. It's actually a part two or a sequel of a other letter, which is known as the Gospel or the letter of Luke, written by a guy named Luke. Now, Luke's letter was like a bestseller, right? Everyone was reading it. Thousands upon thousands of people were reading it or hearing about it as it was read out loud, to the point where this guy, Theo, who's not Jewish, he's probably Roman, he's definitely Greek, he hears it and he says, man, I gotta find this guy Luke because I want more, I need more. So he commissions Luke, said, man, can you please write another letter? So Luke, he writes another letter, and the first letter, which is the letter of Luke, it was all about what Jesus began to do. And so Acts is all about what Jesus continues to do. So it says in verse 1, in my former book, Theo, I wrote all about that what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, the 12 there. Verse 3, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, right? He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus has risen from the dead. He's talking, having meals with them, and he hangs out with them for 40 days talking about how God is restoring kingdom, his kingdom in the world here on earth, and how it all started when Jesus gave up his life and he conquered death with love. Verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, see, he's eating and hanging out with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Spirit. Jesus makes a huge promise, dare I say, a magnanimous promise. I haven't used that word in a while. Magnanimous promise. He says, man, I don't want you to miss on this. So he tells his disciples, hey, I want you to stay in Jerusalem because something huge is going to happen. And this huge thing, which is a big deal in that culture, that God no longer is going to just dwell in like the temple or dwell in this box or this area. Now God's temple is going to be transferred. It's going to be transferred to you. So that applies to us today, so that anyone who put their faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God, actually somehow, some way comes into our lives and takes up residency in our heart, meaning that you and I now have access to God. We have access to him, that his presence is as near to you and I as our own breath. If you have faith in Jesus, God is with you, and somehow, some way, God is actually in you. If you have faith in Jesus, God's available to you on Tuesday night when you're tempted, as well as he's with you on Sunday morning when you're raising your hands and singing the song. It means that God communicates not only through sentiment and word, but he actually communicates to you and I with his presence and proximity in our life. God is with you, and God is also in you. Isn't that awesome? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, man, I don't understand this, but that's awesome. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Look what it says in verse 6. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. And here it is. Here's like the key verse for the entire letter. It's verse 8. But you will receive power. The Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the very ends of the earth. We'll come back to this verse in a minute. Verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Now this is where like the Bible geek and the Bible nerd comes out in me. This refers to an image that happens like 2,500 years ago. A guy named Daniel, he writes about this moment. He talks about, in Daniel chapter 7, he talks about how Jesus is going to come, and he's going to be enthroned as what they call this title, the Son of Man. It's a big, big deal. I wish I had time. We could spend weeks on this, but Jesus is constantly calling himself the Son of Man. Not the Son of God, but the Son of Man, the Son of Man. And it all goes back to Daniel chapter 7. In fact, Jesus takes off the way he does because Daniel writes this. He says, hey, when the Messiah comes, he's going to leave in this way. So this is pretty cool, okay? Verse 10, they were looking intently in the sky. Duh, he just took off like Superman, right? Intently up in the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. They're not up in the sky. They're like, what are you guys looking up? And in verse 11, he says, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Well, he just took off, right? We don't see that normally. This same Jesus who had been taken from you into the heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Here's the first journey I'm going to ask you to be a part of. My first journey ask, so to speak, and it'll be up on your screen. My first journey ask is simply this. Will you journey with us through this series? I mean, what I mean by that is, would you be committed in coming to Sundays? I know you have schedules, and I know you have different things all kind of already laid out. I may even miss a Sunday to take a break, whatever. But like, would you commit and say, hey, I'm going to be here. I'm gonna, even if the weather is bad, or if the weather is too good, or how about this? I'm not sure if I can come every week. How about this? Don't miss 2 weeks in a row, okay? Would you be committed to coming? Not only would you be committed to coming, but would you start reading the book of Acts? Maybe, dare I say, take notes, right? Write some things down, whether it's in a YouVersion app, buy a book, whatever, journal, write some of these things down, and maybe even go back and look at Daniel chapter 7, or maybe it's you getting connected in a home group. Because many of our home groups, what they do as far as the study part, they use the sermon series as a subject. And we believe that this series is going to be huge. It's going to be impactful for our entire church, including this campus. And we're going to be different, and we're going to walk differently, and we're going to impact this community different, not only this community and beyond. So will you journey with us in this series? That's ask number one. Ask number two, this leads to ask number two. 3 months ago, I talked about this very passage. So I began to pray God told that we were going to do Acts chapter 1. And I was like, okay, I just did it. So what do I do? And so I began to pray, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Do I just preach the same sermon I did before? And God's like, well, they probably didn't hear it the first time. They're not going to hear it the second time. So maybe you should do something different. I said, okay, I'll do something different. Now, 6 months ago, the pastors and the elders, the leadership of the church got together and began to talk about what is God calling us into over the next year. We began to pray. We began to have conversations. We began to talk to different people and what are the goals or the focus that we're going to press into in this next year? Our vision, our mission doesn't change. The DNA, the values are not going to change. But what are some of the things that God's kind of calling us to really press into? And so we began to pray and the leadership team came up and we refined some things and we thought about some things. We continued to pray and pray and pray. And so we came up, our leadership team came up with like three things. So this morning, can I share them with you? Give me thumbs up. Okay, thumbs up. Anybody? No thumbs down. Okay, thumbs up. All right. Here we go. We're going to share them with you. It goes back to verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. This is the roadmap of this entire letter, but I believe it's also the roadmap for us as a campus and as a church. This is what it says. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Our first, and this is not any order, I just kind of put them out there, but kind of the first focus or the first goal that's kind of dear to our hearts as a leadership team is simply this. It'll be on your screen. We want to be a place where we seek God and seek the Holy Spirit. Dare I say, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Or you're like, okay, Pastor, like, aren't you supposed to do that all the time? Absolutely. I mean, that is always going to be a part of our DNA, that we will always be focusing and seeking God and doing what God is calling us to do. But for this year, we really want to press into that as a community this year and really focus on and being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit has for us. You see, with God's presence, again, when God says, hey, I'm going to give you this gift, he says, I'm going to transfer the kingdom into you, that now you have God with us and now we have God in us. So with God's presence comes God's power. And as a Christ follower, God lives in us somehow and lives with us, and his presence is near. And one of the greatest needs that the average church, dare I say, the average Christ follower needs today is a sense of power, real power, God's power, not willpower, okay? There's a lot of things you could jump on YouTube, which are probably like 90% wrong because they're all talking about willpower, but we actually need God's power. In other words, that what I mean is that the demands of life, the demands of the Christian life and the demands of family and ministry and work and finances and just relationships in general, I don't know about you, but sometimes it just gets to be too much and it's too hard, whether it's any of those things or all of those things. And when it becomes too much to handle, we tend to like tap out or check out or just burn out. I'm a big UFC fan, and so like I watched it last night. I can't do any of that stuff. I enjoy seeing people like just tap people out, like unconscious. Like, that's awesome. It's like, this guy's barely alive. He's like, that's good. But I start thinking about that, and that's sometimes the struggles in life. We're getting strangled a little bit on life where we just want to just tap out. Because many of the struggles or the situations that I've seen in my own life or I've heard with other people, they find themselves with a lack of power, not necessarily their own willpower, but the lack of God's power, they tap out. It's a lack of sense of power in your home. Like I want to be the spiritual leader in the home. We want to read the Bible as a family at home. I want to, but I just can't. So we just tap out. I feel like we're powerless in our marriage. I've done everything I can do to fix our marriage. I want to have a better marriage, but it just seems like I can't, so I just tap out. I want to have a great relationship with my friends and my kids and the people around, my coworkers, my students, and I want to be a witness. I even wear my What Would Jesus Do bracelet, but I feel like I'm just so powerless. I feel powerless over my own sin, and I want to do better. I want to be better, but I just feel like I just need to, I can't, so I just tap out. Again, I'm not talking about willpower. I'm talking about real power. Because as a Christ follower, there's a resource that is actually inside of all of us, that there's a person inside of you and me, because we have Jesus in our lives, because we said yes to Jesus, and his name is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a him. It's a being. And his power never runs low. It never runs dry. And on top of all of that, and for those who are not church people, this may freak you out. There is a real, real enemy. And let me tell you something. The enemy, he is good. He knows how to trip you up. And he's in this world, and there's a real battle going on, whether you are aware of it or not. And I don't want to freak you out and kind of like, you know, but you know, the spirits around, the Casper, the ghost. And it seems like in Hollywood, we try to make the ghost or demons seem like cool, but they ain't. There's a real battle. In fact, one of Luke's co-workers, his name is Paul, he writes this, it'll be on your screen. He talks about this battle in Ephesians 6. He says, "For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world and evil spirits in the heavenly places." Now, hear me on this. I don't think everything that doesn't go your way is a spiritual attack. Maybe that's just like you ran out of gas in your car. That's, you know, you're just not, E means empty, you know. Not everything is a spiritual attack, but there are certain things that definitely are. When I think about this, again, like Hollywood, they always want to get Arnold Schwarzenegger or Keanu Reeves to fight our battle with like shotguns. You can't beat the enemy with a shotgun, okay? This is a real, real battle. A lot of people thought like 2.5 years ago, and I actually saw pastors, I was like, please stop. They were talking about how COVID was a spiritual battle, and just where I stand, I don't think it was at all. I think coming out of COVID is a spiritual battle. What I mean is, and I've talked to many pastors in the area and even across this nation, we all are scratching our heads. Like, we had people that were coming to church. All of a sudden, they're not coming to church anymore, and we can't figure it out. People are not getting involved anymore. We can't figure it out. And I'm like this. I think it's a spiritual battle going on. I think there is something there. I think we've gotten so comfortable sitting on the couch and kind of flipping the screen, and there's nothing wrong with watching TV on church. Hear me on this. And some people, like my own mother, she's like at high risk, so she went back to church, and now things are going back, and she's like going back and forth. But I do believe that there is a spiritual battle going on, and some of you are like, I want to engage, I want to get involved, but for whatever reason, I can't. Now, I want to, but as many of you know, I'm not a football player. I'm a soccer player, and I played soccer. And when I was probably my son's age, there was a team that I played on, a bunch of cool guys, really, really top-class guys. All of us went to play in college. But in high school season, we didn't play with each other. But in the off high school season, we all were on the same team. But we wanted to make high school soccer fun, and so we kind of did something. And let me back up a little bit because, you know, I'm going to speak my age, maybe even older than me. There used to be something that was referred to as the pink slip. Anybody ever heard of pink slip? Like when it comes with a car, okay, for those who are like under 30, they would actually have the title of a car on a pink piece of paper, and you were like, hey, we're gonna race for pink slips. And so if you won, you got their car, right? I'm not sure how legal that is, but that's what happens, right? And so let's race for pink slips. And I tell my kids, you know, because they always ask me, Dad, when you were a kid, like, was life in color? I'm like, yeah, life was in color. We had pink slips, right? And so what we did, as some of these high school players would do, we would have our own pink slips. And if we played against each other and if we dominated each other, we would give each other, hey, I pink slipped you. Basically, I owned you. Basically, we had on the pink slip back pocket. That means I guarded you so well that you were in my pocket. And we would come at the end and we just have fun with it and all that good stuff. But here's the thing. The reason I bring this up, I think the enemy has a lot of people in their back pocket. I'm not just talking about non-Christ followers. I'm talking about people like, man, I used to, but I want to go to church. I want to get back involved. And God's like, the devil's like, as long as you sit on the sidelines, I got you in my back pocket. I own you. Because if you're not doing anything for the God, then that's great, man. That's awesome. Well, I want to get re-engaged, but I'm just too busy. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever used that? I've learned this in my own life and in my own journey, in my walk. The more busy I am, that seems to be when God wants to use me the most. I'll say it again. The more busy that I am, that's where God wants to use me the most. And I've got to recognize or pause. I've got to go here. I'm running around, doing this, in my car constantly, meeting with people. And then God's like, hey, I have an assignment for you, an appointment for you. And sometimes I'm like, I'm too busy, God. I'm like, come on, man. And then when I actually pause and I actually do what God asked me to do, it's incredible. There, it's magnificent. The more busy I am, it seems like God wants to use me in that particular moment. Think about the flip side of this, right? We are doing life. We're so busy in life. We actually tell God, God, can you just kind of wait back in the background a little bit? Let me take care of my stuff, and then I'll come to you. I did a sermon several years ago. It was titled The Dentist, right? Anybody here loves going to the dentist? Well, some people do. Bless your hearts. Do you know, the whole point of that sermon, sometimes the dentist is more important to God. That was the whole point of the sermon. And people are looking at me like, what do you mean? I said, the dentist is the only time we will change our schedules. You ever notice that? The dentist, we're never late for the dentist. Mm-hmm. Never late for the dentist. But think about that. Think about that. I don't want to get on people. Like sometimes we could be late in church, but like I don't want to be late for the dentist. Is the dentist more important to God? Y'all have to answer that one. I might get in trouble if I answer that one. The Holy Spirit is God Himself living in your life. He's the source of our strength, and He's the strength of our lives. He's the one that convicts us of sin. He's the one that leads us to all truth, not my truth, not the TikTok's truth or Instagram's truth. We ain't truth at all, but truth. He's a great counselor. He leads, he guides, he convicts, he empowers, he encourages, he strengthens, and he confronts. He is present, and we could call upon him, not summon him like some genie, but call upon him. So how do I call upon the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, I need your help. I'm being tempted right here. It's late at night. Some of you fellows will know this. It's late at night, and the internet is there. The computer is there. God, I need your help. I need your help. Ladies, some of you know this. Hey, did you hear about such and such? Did you hear about such and such? God, I need your help. Watch my words. Watch my words. God, I need your help. Come here. And we as a church, we want to continually to call and seek and be sensitive what the Holy Spirit is doing. This is the only way that we will accomplish the goal that God's given us. Being sensitive and seeking the Holy Spirit. This is one of the reasons why we have this thing called the upper room. It's a dedicated place where we come worship and pray. If you missed it, you missed out. I was busy. Change your schedule. And October 5th is our next one. And I'm not just promoting this because it's like me and Pastor Guy saying, I'm telling you, God is up to something. You do not want to miss out on it. Don't want to miss out on it. But I had a long day. Trust me, God can make your day better. He can. He will. I believe that God has an assignment for us. God's appointments, you know, what if we just treat them like dentist appointments? Always go to them. The dentist these days, if you miss a dentist appointment, it's like another 3 months. This is why we have prayer time. And at prayer time every Sunday at 9:45, we come together as a team to just pray. Everyone and anyone is welcome, young and old. You want to bring your family, come. You're like, but my kids, the best thing your kids need to do is see you pray. Best thing, that's the best thing in the world. They see you do everything else. Trust me. My kids can testify. Maybe you hang out afterwards and you pray with our prayer team and get involved with the prayer team that meets every Sundays, and sometimes they meet in the middle of the week, but it's too early. So if it was a dentist appointment, you get there on time. Which leads us to point number two. Our focus number two, or goal number two, that we want to make sure at this place and all throughout our church and all of our campuses, that we want to make sure you people, folks, feel known. Abby talked about it. This is why we have home groups. This is why we have that stuff. We believe that life is better with connected with other people, and home groups is a great way. We have some great home group leaders. They're starting out. There are new groups. There are old groups. There's all these kind of, when I say old, not like old people groups, okay? I'm talking about like groups that already exist, okay? I don't want to get that back. Like, why you call us old? No, I'm just kidding. But get involved in a home group. I don't have the time. Yes, you do. You do. Maybe you get involved in a serve team. We're going to talk about serving in a few weeks, but this is what we've learned. We know that folks, when they get more involved, their life will change, their marriages will change. It will get healthier. Your relationship will get change. Your relationship with your kids, your coworkers, your classmates, they will change. They will get better. We know this, and the more likely you're to be involved and connected, whether it's a home group or serving with other people, you'll actually invite them to church or maybe even talk to them about Scripture. Another thing that we're planning on doing here at this campus is these fellowship Sundays. We talked about them last week. Or this last week, and actually Abby talked about them. There's something about getting together and fellowshipping together. So once a month, every month, we're going to do something. Where we're just hanging out, get to know people, get to meet people, and then in the summertime, we will probably go outside and do some fun. There's something about doing life together and having fun. I mean, church is not just all about just like worship and just the sermon part and the song. It's about us coming together and fellowshipping and doing life together and celebrating God together and making sure people feel known. Home groups and serving teams and fellowship things, those are things that we want to do and that we're going to do. So we want you to be a part of those things. Which leads us to number three, last focus. And we talked about this all last month, is to recast and to live out our mission. Our mission statement is pretty simple but difficult to do at times, but we just want to make followers of Jesus who reach our neighbors, the next generation, and the nations for Christ. That's what we're all about. And our vision is to reach Frederick for Christ. I mean, that's why we planted this campus a year and a half ago. Can you believe it's a year and a half? Awesome, isn't it? A few weeks ago, it came to my attention, someone who was at the service, man, they said, man, we really enjoyed the worship. The worship was on point. The teaching, man, it was okay. You know, the people were great. It was awesome. Man, this seems like a great place. And then they said, but you meet in a school. And I get that. The reason that we meet in the school, if you're not aware, is because we want to be involved in the community. And the first sermon that we kind of did when we were back in the hotel, remember back in the hotel? You know, who here are some of the OGs back in the hotel? Go ahead. We were back in the hotel. Praise God, we out of that hotel. But we were back in the hotel. We were back in the hotel. And my first sermon, if you remember what it was about, the whole point was we're missional, not optional. The reason we're here, the reason that we're in this school, we want to have a real impact in this community. We just don't want to be another option where people have another time. We want to be missional. What is God doing in our midst? How can we impact this community? And last year, praise God, we had over 100 first-time guests. This year, we're like, okay, let's get 150 guests. Why not? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Maybe not for y'all, but it'd be awesome for me. This year we had 5 baptisms. I think we have some pictures on the screen. 5 baptisms. lot of people are like, man, yeah, declaring like, yeah. I try to get pictures that weren't, you guys weren't spitting up water because for whatever reason, when you go down, you wanted to open your mouth. But anyway, that's a different issue. But what if next year we have 10 people get baptized? Minimum. We're missional, not optional. Yeah, I think I'll go to church today, or maybe I'll do it online, or maybe I'll just wait till the pastor. Whatever. No. God wants to do something incredible with you and me this year. Check this out, and this is the last verse, and our worship team can come up. Verse 11, I love this verse. This verse is insane. Like, so they see Jesus take off like Superman, right? He's like, woo, you know, he just floats up without a cape and all that good stuff. And then two angels come, and they're standing with them, right? They're just looking up with them. And it says in verse 11, they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up at the sky? I love that. In other words, what they are doing is, what are you going to do? Are you just going to stand there and look? Or in other words, are you just going to stand there on the sidelines? Are you just because that Jesus came into your life and made a huge impact in your life, are you going to do nothing now? What are you going to do? Just stand there or do the things that God has asked you to do? So my ask number two is quite simple. Here it is. Will you journey with us? Will you journey not only in this series, but would you actually journey with us? What does that mean? Get involved. Maybe get in a home group. Get on a serve team. There are serve teams that haven't been created yet because you haven't come forward. And like, I have this idea. God's going to give you. I don't know what should I do? And I'm like, okay, let's try to figure this out. I believe this with all my heart. I know this. For whatever reason, God has given me this picture. God wants to do mighty things through you. Yes, you. Yes, you. Even you, way, way back in the back. He wants to. He's about to. He's just waiting for you to say yes. That's all he's waiting for. He says, man, I got some things I want to do through you. This is awesome. But I'm not going to show you yet because I need you to take a step and say yes. Have you noticed that's how God works a lot of times? I actually prefer that way because if God showed me all the things that he wants me to do, that might be a little bit intimidating and scary, quite honestly. But when I'm just faithful, I'll just take a step. It's like, okay, this is about to get good. In fact, tell your neighbor, this is about to get good. What makes it even better? He's willing to use someone like you. May not be the most educated, may not be the most gifted, whatever. You are perfect. You are the perfect person that God will use. In fact, he has a reputation of using people that are not on the varsity squad. He's good at that. Will you join us? Would you journey with us? I hope so. Because this area is going to be impacted in ways that you cannot comprehend. And I don't want you to be like, man, I missed it. No. Let's do this together. Not just me, together. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you have this amazing call in our lives, this amazing challenge that you have in our lives, Lord God. You just don't want us looking up in the sky, waiting for you to come back. Like, I'm just going to sit here and wait till Jesus comes back. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to wait. You want us to do something. And I believe, God, you have an assignment for every single one of us. I pray, Lord God, that we as individuals and as a community, as a church, as a campus, we would just simply say yes and remember that we're missional, not just optional. We just take that step forward and just go. We say yes to you. Lord God, you're going to use this place. You're going to use these individuals over this next year. It's going to be amazing. I'm excited to be back up here a year from now and see all the things that you've done, God. The challenges that you have brought us through, the ups and downs, the lives that will be impacted and changed, the new people that will be here, the people that will be baptized, the people that will visit, the people that will get involved and get connected and get connected. People are going to start moving to Frederick, Maryland, because they hear a church that's all about God and all about and make sure people love each other and are focused on reaching our neighbors, the next generation, and the nation for Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome? So we thank you, God, in your precious name, amen.